Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl.
And my name is Rachel Skarsten. For 3 seasons, I played Tamsin.
Welcome to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast,
a show where we will look at all the episodes, share some behind-the-scenes stories,
and chat with some very special guests.
On the show, our relationship was sometimes rocky.
But in life, our friendship is rock solid.
We are so glad you are here to join us for this trip down memory lane.
We love that the family is back together again.
See the moon rise up. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast. This is podcast episode 5, where we will be discussing episodes 9 and 10. And I couldn't be more thrilled because joining me right now is the lovely Michael Cram, who was in episode 9, the famous body swap episode. Welcome,
Hi.
Michael, to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hello.
So good to be here. Yeah.
It's so good to have you. I don't know if you realize, Michael, the fan outpouring for this episode of all 77 episodes of this podcast, this by far is the most popular, most asked about, most talked about episode.
No idea. That's crazy. That's so great.
It's so great. It was such a unique, like, standalone episode. It was titled Original Skin. It was written by Emily Andras and directed by Paul Fox, which I had forgotten who had directed it until I rewatched it. And you've rewatched it. How did you feel rewatching it?
It was really cool. It brought back mostly, like, I was thinking about how it felt like I was part of the cast. Usually if you're guest starring on an episode, you go in and you sort of feel like, I got to keep quiet, just do my thing, get my head down, you know, and maybe you make or have a, you know, little bit of a friendly back and forth with some of the cast, and maybe you don't, but that's the job. And this one, I felt like I was part of the cast because we were there every single day. And they're long days, and it was a real ensemble thing. So yeah, it's one of my favorite episodes too, for anybody listening.
Oh,
it was one
good.
Of the favorite jobs I've ever had. Yeah.
Oh, that's great to hear. Well, it's a challenging job that you had.
Yeah. It wasn't the normal kind of thing that we do, is it?
Yeah. And but, I mean, I don't know if you, did you audition for the part? Did you?
Yeah. So,
tell us that story.
The way it happened was I just auditioned like you would ever, your agent calls you, you show up to the audition, you do the audition. And I think that the way it happened was they were concerned about getting somebody that could play you, right?
Yeah.
Which is such a weird ask. But so you're doing this gruff Texan bounty hunter guy, but you've got to flip over to Beau at some point. And so I think there was 2 auditions, and then they brought me in just to a very casual sort of little improv with you playing each other. Do you remember that? It was in front of, I think, is it Jay Firestone?
Yeah, Jay Firestone.
Paul was there, Paul Fox, the mm-hmm. director, and maybe one other person. And you and I think you sort of showed me how to be you. I don't think you played me in this particular audition, but right. I just went down to the studio and we sat around and we kind of riffed on me trying to sound like you for a while.
Yeah.
So that's how I got the job. And then I remember being really excited because I had been on something for a while beforehand. This is my first time playing something new in a mm-hmm. long time. And it was something so crazy. But then I went to the read through and, everybody was so welcoming and I had been familiar with a couple of people already. So it already felt good. And then from there on, it was just a good week and a half of fun, I think. You and I had some rehearsals together too, though, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yeah. And you know what? Like on my old, you know how like your old, I think I had a flip phone at the time. I don't know what a really old, like original iPad. I remember recording you walk and things like that. Yeah. Every once in a while, you know memories come up.
That's absolutely. Yeah.
I will still get memories and it'll be a video of you walking across the bar. I still have it in there.
It's funny because I remember I rewatched the episode twice because I knew I was going to be doing this. And I remember seeing you walk and think, whoa, that's pretty good. Like you're walking like me. Yeah.
It's about imagining that you've got like junk downstairs. That's really right. I think we all, right. It was so much fun. It was like going to acting camp that week.
Yeah.
And the cast has often talked about that.
That is exactly what I said to someone else. Acting camp. It was it was really fun. It was, and we had there was a language coach there too, to help us with our accents.
There was. Yep.
Because there's a lot of switching around accents because Kiara went, you know, Casey had to do
the British accent.
Lena's British accent. You had to do my Texas. I had to do a Texas accent.
You had to do, we both did. Yeah. I mean, I feel like you probably had the toughest job, in the whole thing because, you know, the rest of us kind of know each other very well.
Yeah.
And maybe that makes it harder. I don't know. But I just remember everyone kind of being paired off in the Dalriada, which was the bar, and working with each other and taking little video snippets of each other. I remember so specifically you coming to me and saying, "You don't do anything." And I was like, "What?" And you were like, "You don't do anything. Like you don't have a mannerism. You don't have a this or that." And I was like, "Oh, well, good luck."
What kind of a thing is that to say to the lead of a show?
You don't do anything.
I'm not known for my tact.
No, it's because it's hard to grab onto something, you know? Yeah. But I will say in rewatching this, let me see. I made a note about the, you don't do anything. What I thought you captured so beautifully, Michael, was so Bo's, and I wouldn't have been able to tell you this at the time because I didn't know, but when I looked back, Bo's specific function in the Fae world is one of, sensitivity to the Fae world and reaction to that Fae world, because all the other characters were either like really like they'd been around for centuries or, you know, they were human and sort of had a different perspective on it. Bo was Fae and new to the world and was extremely sensitive to it, had strong opinions about it, and was very reactive to it. So what you did in that episode is you just hung in this place of sensitivity. And I was like, oh yeah, that's Bo. Well, that's, you captured that.
Because I'm sort of surprised to hear you say that I said you did nothing, because that is exactly what I remember clinging to, is that it was like a vulnerability that held on to yourself the whole way. Like you were, there was an edge to Bo always. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was the sort of, there's a slight standoffishness. So I played with that a little bit. And then with that, you kind of notice the vulnerability when it seeped in. And that's what that's the thing that I think was very evident. And I'm surprised that I said that. I'm sorry about that.
I think what you meant is like, you know, like you don't chew a toothpick. You don't,
quirky.
There wasn't something that you could really grab onto. Like it wasn't tangible.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, I mean, look, you nailed it.
It was a lot of
you
fun.
Nailed it.
And you nailed it too. Yeah, everybody did. I was I was really, really into it. And I have to say too, like, this comfort thing was key for me, right? The minute there were so many funny little stories, because Rick and I became fast friends in LA for years.
Yes.
He and his wife, Nadia, were not in LA anymore, but when we were there, we were, you know, we had weekly dinners and, mm-hmm. And of course I saw you a few times there.
Yes.
And, Chris Holden Reed and I sort of knew each other from auditions from way back, mm-hmm. and we had been friendly for a long time. Lena and I started, we did something after together. And then, Zoe, the funny one was Zoe, cause I think I'm two people. I can be very outgoing and comfortable, and I can be really awkward.
That's like exactly like me. So that you were well cast.
There's people out there that think, oh, that guy is so awkward. And other people, oh, he's a nice guy. He's very casual and easygoing. Well, it was me and Zoe, who I would describe the same way. And we were both awkward selves at the craft table at the read through. And we had both come up. I had sort of done my introductions, and you know how you got a little bit of nerves going on when mm-hmm. you're in a big group who've been together for a season or two already, and you're just coming into it. And I don't know where I stand at this point. It's like, and it's a tough job, like you said. And we're standing at the craft table, and we arrived at the same time, and we just stared straight ahead of each other, not talking and not grabbing for any food. And one of us went, bagels. And the other one went, butter. And went, yep, bagels and butter. Good. And we just kept staring. And I think we introduced ourselves. And then we looked at each other and started laughing and went back to the table. And that started a very nice friendship that's lasted years. You know, I'm still Aww. Friendly with her. And
I love
and,
that.
Yeah.
That is a Zoe moment for sure.
It was so, and we laugh about it to this day. But I also have to be careful because I had another interview where I described that event, and I had to call her and tell her, if you ever hear this interview, I made it sound like you and I are still best friends. Like you're my best friend. And I realize that's not the case. I love you and I am your friend, but I realize you're not my best friend. So I had to call her up, and that was a very strange conversation, as you can imagine as well.
Yeah. I think it's a conversation you can easily have with Zoe though. She's she's one of a kind.
She got it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love to hear that you have lasting friendships from the show because,
Absolutely,
you know, we all do. We all are still in touch, some more than others, but definitely as a whole, we're all in touch. Because, you know, I loved rewatching this episode. I was laughing out loud, particularly at Chris playing Kenzie because just him bouncing around was hilarious.
Yes.
But you as Woods, your opening scene where you come into the bar. So for everyone listening, as an actor, it's so challenging to be a guest on a show where you have to walk into one of the central sets for all those main characters. The bar is full of main characters. You're walking, story-wise, you're walking into a personal drama that's happening amongst those characters. Yeah. You have to walk in, Michael Cram, command the room, and have everybody paying attention to you, which is not an easy job to do at all. And you did it. I mean,
that's
your
nice
job.
Compliment.
That's your job. You're supposed to show up and be able to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not easy to do that. And so you did it so well. And I loved your powers, which I'm not really sure what they were, but I like that you just had something you could conjure up in your hands.
Yeah. I understood that I could create containment fields, but I never was really, I just thought that was like a ball of energy that hurt if it hit you.
It hurt if it hit you.
You know, when you're walking into that situation, it's a bit of you have to, at some point when I was younger, I think those situations was a 50-50 situation where it might blow up in my face.
Yeah.
But as you've done this longer and longer, you realize that you need to jump. And part of that is preparation. So you don't have to think too hard. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say that something, well, maybe it was the accent, maybe it was the comfort level, but something sort of just, it was in my body.
Right.
And it just felt good to do it. And because everybody was so receptive, and maybe because all the eyes are on me and that's what I've always wanted, it just kind of flowed like that. But thank you.
And maybe partly too, because I mean, you're a very skilled and talented actor, but also because we were all jumping in that episode. Yeah. I think we were all unsure a little bit of is this going to work? Yeah. You know, like let's hope it's it was a weird show. We did all kinds of weird things on that show, but no matter what, it has to be grounded in the reality of the truth of that environment. So like, that's the other thing I noted about this is that you had to come in, not just command the room as this powerful fey dude, you had to know the fey world. So to hear actors talk like you did in this episode about like, how this works, who Reynard is, how, you know, why we're in such trouble, to have the stakes of the world. Cause you haven't been living the fey world like we have. Right. So you have to come in and talk about something that's completely foreign to you, which I'm sure you, you know, looked into, or, but doesn't matter. Even if you look into it, we have such a short turnaround to make that work. And so you did, you felt like you carried the weight of the fey world.
Thanks.
Which was so amazing to see.
It's great fun because also as someone who's coming in, I know there's tons of rules, but you expect, you sort of make it out to what you think it's going to be and hope someone's going to cut you off if you go too far, you know? And that, so in some ways there's like no boundaries for you to go into that. So I appreciate that that you think I did it well, but I wonder if maybe it's easier if you don't really, it's not really in you. Like it is you guys.
Right.
Because I can just go in making it whatever I think it is. And then someone tell me, hey, enough is enough, or, you know, give it a little more.
Yeah. But it's like a 1-inch difference of having the courage. Like that little bit of courage is only 1 inch, but it makes all the difference. Right. In terms of getting yourself there. I have to shout out someone else in this episode, which is the little girl who played the Nain Rouge.
Oh yeah.
She was wonderful. And I will tell, I think I've told this story before at a con or something. She was so good. And she's probably like finished college by now, but because it was a while ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
She was wonderful. Whoever that young actress was, I should have looked up her name. I did not, but she was fantastic. And I remember her coming to set. And I remember having to go to the bar to rehearse. And so, you know what it's like on set, you're bopping around, you're going from thing to thing. And I get there and I'm like, hi. And I meet this wonderful little girl. And then, they call action for the rehearsal and she's just like, boom, she's there.
Yeah.
She doesn't have her sides, which are the small script that we carry around on set.
Some kids just have that.
I had my sides in my hand. She started and I just went, oh my God. And I was like flipping through my sides, trying to find the lines. Like she threw me, she rattled me, which is what the character is supposed to do. But she did rattle Anna as well.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful to work with her. She was so good. She just had this
she was
stillness.
Endearing and creepy at the same
and
time.
Creepy.
Right?
Yeah. And strong.
Yeah.
So strong. Yeah. So I have to give her a little shout out. Have you had any fan encounters over the years? I don't know if you are familiar with the Lost Girl fan base, but I'm wondering if you've had
I've ever been recognized for that. There have been times where I've sort of seen where in conjunction with another thing, someone will have said, you know, mention Woods in Lost Girl as well as whatever, but I've never had a fan encounter like that. No.
Okay.
I wish that would have been great, but no, it hasn't happened. No,
it is by far the most asked about episode. So I always sometimes, well, not always, sometimes I like to point out things in an episode that I feel didn't work as well. For me, it was my bangs. What the heck? Why did I have those bangs?
Are you kidding? I don't remember your bangs not looking. They were great, I thought.
They were clip-on bangs, but I don't know why story-wise. Because it's the opening scene where, you know, Kenzie is dancing around in her shoes and she's like, let's go out tonight, but let's go out as like different people. I'm not sure what function me looking different, because it's not like we were going to look the same at all, You know, they're not going to confuse us, or why did I have to have a different look for that episode?
Was it maybe somebody took it literally. Let's give her a different look. And it
I don't know.
To me, I thought they were your bangs, first of all.
No,
and I didn't really have anything.
I'd never worn them before.
No? Okay.
I just cringe when I look at them, but I don't know what, I was just trying to figure out what story function they had. Anyway, I don't know. I also loved the actor who played Raynard because he had an interesting part
that's
too.
That's a hard part to play.
Yes.
What do you have to draw on there? And he did a great job. He was sort of slithering, wasn't he? He was a slithering villain. Yeah.
Because what does crazy mean, right? Like if you've got to be this crazy guy, what does that mean?
No, he certainly embodied it.
Oh, and I loved how in the story, because it would be hard. This is where the writing was so good and the direction was so good too. It's hard to show the audience like how we're switching bodies, who is who. And I love the moment you and I body switch at the pool table. I just rewatched it again this morning, where, you know, it's clear you and I have switched. Then you see everybody else switch. Then you have to figure out who's who. And then Trick gets name tags. It was actually brilliant.
Episode, when Trick gets the name tags, it was, even knowing everything that went on and knowing the episode, I was like, oh, that's a relief.
What a relief.
Name tags on people. Yes. What a relief. Okay.
Even for me, I know all those characters, and it was too hard. You know, and I love that we got to watch, you know, your scene with, so it's the Bo and Kiara scene, which is really you and Casey Collins.
I love that.
I love that scene. Me too.
I love that scene. It's funny. I was rewatching it again before we came on here today. Mm-hmm. And that was the last scene I saw before we hooked up online here.
Yeah.
So it was a lovely scene and the vulnerability was like, coming from both sides in that one. It was nice for Casey's character because he's so the opposite of that in the show. Yeah,
totally. And then we had those scenes, like we had Dyson and Kiara scenes, which would have been, I guess Casey and Ksenia, and then the Bo Kenzie scene, which was you and Chris, which was really cool too, because like I said, there was a messiness to their personal lives at this point. Mm. And to have to deal with them.
To say the least. I forgot about that. My goodness.
I'd forgotten about that too, because it's been so long since I've watched that episode, which has made this podcast a real trip, I have to say, Michael, because to go back and watch, I have to say season two, I had really forgotten how special season two was. And you were a big part of making that special.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. Well, it was an honor to be there. And I to this day is one of my favorite jobs I've ever done, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah. I hope it's on your demo reel. I hope there's something from it on your demo reel. Okay, good. Because you were fantastic.
For sure. Thank you.
Is there anything else we can add to this? I mean, I feel like we've talked about it and
There's one thing I noticed that I just want to give a shout out to Rick that, in the episode, I know he's an ancient and that he's probably more than 500 years old in the, in the show. Right.
I would say,
I just wanted to, I was joking with him earlier that I call him old timer in the episode and I'm a year older than him. So I just wanted to make sure that got said. Yeah.
Old timer.
Old timer.
Yeah.
It didn't strike me as weird at the time, but I was like, I'm older than this guy and I'm calling him old timer, but then it made sense.
Well,
obviously
Rick was my grandfather on the show.
Yeah. Oh,
he was my grandfather.
All the things I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. All the things you don't know, which gets revealed later, by the way.
Right.
We didn't know that then.
Yeah.
Wait, did we? God, now I can't remember. Now I've got too many episodes in my head.
Six seasons total, right?
We did. Yes.
Yeah.
I just can't remember now when that was revealed. It was a great run. It was a great run.
Amazing.
And we've been so flooded with so much love for this show. You know, we've done conventions and things like that. And the fan base is incredible. They really took ownership.
You've got one of those amazing fandoms. Yeah.
They took ownership of the show. They took ownership of these characters. They flooded us with love. So this podcast that Rachel and I are doing, is, by the way, you've probably noticed Rachel's not here, everybody, but Rachel is working today. So yay. But, so I this podcast is really our version of a love letter to fans, because, you know, but it's actually been really like, it's almost been a healing or something for me. To go back and watch, my 10 year ago self doing something that, you know, it was a different experience at the time. It was a wonderful experience, but to go back, I'm like, you did good, kid. That's what I feel, even though I was far from a kid. It's been really,
you guys really did
nice.
Do good. It was a huge show too.
It was.
And to have like a lasting fandom this far, it's just amazing.
Yeah, you know? It really is. Well, hopefully we will get to see you maybe at a con one day. Who knows?
Oh, and, I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you, Michael, for joining us. Thank you, everybody,
for
listening. You will see Rachel and I answering your voicemails up next.
All right, I'm back. And we just heard from the lovely Michael Cram. Mm-hmm. That was so cool.
He is so lovely.
But as promised, from our Instagram, we have gathered all your lovely voicemails. Thank you very much for sending them in. And for this part of the episode, Anna and I are going to listen to them and answer.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, so let's get started. Our first voicemail is from Jen. Let's hear what she has to say.
Hi, this is Jen Fitz in beautiful downtown Burbank, California. And this is about the body swap episode. Did you guys just wing it? Or did you actually study each other to get the characteristics of each person that everyone was playing? Because it was brilliant.
Well, oh my gosh, can you imagine if you just winged it?
I know. I mean, we all knew each other well enough.
Could you have winged it?
I don't think so. I mean, I could have probably, because I mean, Michael had a really strong Southern accent. You know, there's things I could grab onto. Everyone, Jen, we studied each other. So even Michael and I, who just met, we took videos of each other walking, talking, you know, looking around, whatever it was. But everyone was in like little groups around set in the Del Riata, I remember, and like recording each other. I think people asked for footage of like recent episodes so they could watch each other move and things like that. Yeah. And it's so cool to see like that the episode in rewatching it was so funny to me. I was laughing so much, particularly at Chris, like just his freedom in his body and like bouncing around. I mean, he's just adorable. But yeah, everyone worked pretty hard in a very short period of time because we didn't have a whole lot of time.
Who do you think had the toughest job of imitating? Who was the hardest person to imitate?
I would imagine Dyson would be in some ways.
What? He was going to be my like, really? He'd be easy. Yeah.
Well, because he's so physical.
But you could imitate him now.
He's got the kind of like this.
Okay.
Like
give me your best Dyson.
I just did. Oh. I just showed you.
Oh, I mean, yes, it was excellent.
It was so good.
It was so good. I actually thought it was Chris. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I don't know who would be hardest. Everyone's hard and not. I mean, I thought Lena did a beautiful job as Hale. Like that she had the toothpick, you know, like there's little mannerisms that people have. Yeah. But yeah.
But I guess that's the thing too. You're not just emulating the person, it's the character they've built. So all of the actors on the show, I think they did a really good job of building characters that weren't just the words that they were saying. It was like their physicality or the toothpick or like, you know, all these other little things, even yeah. the costume that then lend itself to, you know, being easy to, or not easy, but easier to emulate.
It lends itself to a certain physicality too, of like your costume. Yeah. Like I definitely had a beau walk.
Yeah. That's it's not like when Anna's cosplay. Walk. It's like when people cosplay.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's like that. So everyone listening, I bet you could body swap with us.
Yeah, we should do a body swap episode, Anna, you and I.
I think we should.
Thank you, oh Jen, God. For that.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, for Meryl. That awesome for that question. VM. Yes, for that VM. That's what all the cool kids are saying now. We started it. You heard it here first. The next voicemail is from Lisa.
Hi, this message is for Rachel. My name is Lisa. I'm calling from San Diego. Quick question. If you were to have been in the episode where everybody switched bodies, I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about. That's my favorite episode. Whose body would you like to have jumped into, or whose character would you like to have been swapped with? Anyways, love the podcast. Love y'all. And have a great day, evening, morning, afternoon, life. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay. So I think for character, I would really, it's so hard because I mean, honestly, I would have loved to try to play these two characters, but I feel like I couldn't have done them the justice that they're like the actors who embodied them played them as. I would love to been Vex. I think Vex is like such a fun character. And also there's just so many tools at your disposal mm-hmm. to emulate Vex. Or Kenzie would have been really fun as well, because it's the same thing. But and also they both do such a good job at what I was talking about before, like bringing so many extra layers to that character yes. that you can pull from the toolbox mm-hmm. to make it easy or easier to identify them as like, that's definitely Vex or that's definitely Kenzie.
Yes.
But if I had to body swap with someone, I think I'd body swap with Zoe because she's so cool. Just be cool for a day.
Man, she's the coolest.
Like in real life.
In real life. Yes. And as Lauren. I mean, Lauren was definitely more booky and dorky than Zoe is. Zoe's very cool.
So cool.
She's yeah, so cool.
So that's the answer to my question.
I think
on the show and in real life.
And when she body swapped in this episode with the nutty man that puts the stuff in the beer, that was not easy at all. Like I read
so good at that stuff.
I know.
Do you remember? Like I'm jumping ahead now, but remember in season, was it 5 when she had to play like the Rasta?
And like oh my God, I totally forgot. Yeah. I forgot.
Like, so good at that too. Like it was like she became a completely different person.
Yes. You know? Yes. And what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought because I looked down at my notes. God, what was I going to say, Rachel?
She was swapping with the guy with the beer.
She was, oh, yes, I remember. So when she had to do that, like he was not on set very much, right? Because he was in a couple of scenes. So what they had done with Zoe, I remember they had sent his audition to her to watch because they had cast him. And so I just remember going like, oh my gosh, I've just seen this audition and this guy's amazing. But like,
I have to try to copy what he was doing. And like, I remember her being kind of like, oh my God, what is this going to look like? But she did it so well. She did so well.
Not surprising.
So yeah, but those are good answers. I mean, I'm very disappointed you didn't say me. I feel like, why wouldn't you just want to switch bodies with me?
That's true. Well, no, like for your bod, I definitely switch bods.
Thanks.
But like in a competition between all three of us, Zoe's definitely the coolest.
Oh, for sure. I know. There's Zoe and then there's us. And there's us. I'll put us on the same plane.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Great question, Lisa. Okay, we've got another one here from Myla.
Hi, Anna. One of the best and funny episodes in season 2 was the episode Original Skin. Was it challenging to play the role of your co-star? Did you get confused at all? Thanks, and I enjoyed this rewatching podcast. Congrats.
Oh, thank
you. That's a good question. Yeah. Did you get confused?
Well, that's a great question, Myla. And what I was going to say about that is I thought the writing, written so brilliantly, as we know, by Emily Andres, it was so good because that it kind of took care of that element of it. Like the way that we came together and then you see us all body switch, it looked like you weren't quite sure who was switching with who when everyone switched. But then Trick goes and gets name tags. Like once we realize who's who, he goes to get the name tags to put everyone's name, like who's actually inside this body. And so it actually helped the actors as well to remember, even though you could see what was happening, but like it was just so much fun. But I thought in terms of like visually, also telling the story with name tags and with the CGI of us switching bodies, it just worked.
Who was the most excited for the episode? Like who was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill this.
You know what? I think everyone was super excited and also really nervous because this is a bit of like
the most excited and the most.
I mean, all I can think is Chris. I feel like I talk about Chris all the time. Maybe I'm in love with Chris. I do love Chris. I think Chris was just so bouncing all over the place to play Kenzie because Kenzie's so, it's like such a spark plug of a character,
yeah.
You know? So yeah, I think he was probably the most excited, but I think everyone was scared too, because this is one of those episodes where you kind of go, cross your fingers. Let's go. Let's hope this works. Sure, and this is one of those episodes, where they do on pretty much every show. I think, is it called a containment episode or something like that? What's the word for it? Where they want to shorten the shooting days and put us all in one location. It saves on budget. It's what it does. And so it tends to happen halfway through a season on a lot of shows. So pay attention to shows you love where like in Grey's Anatomy, they're all stuck in the OR or something like
the elevator
or whatever it is. Like, so, cause it makes filming much more, it's contained. I don't know. It's a containment episode. I don't know if that's the word. I should know.
That sounds like a deadly virus, but
containment.
It's something like that.
We all got a virus. We had to stay in the Dalriada. No, but that's what it is. And that's what that one, and I believe it was only 6 days of shooting and most of our episodes were 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So, it was fast and furious.
You did that in six days.
Yes. With
that's nuts.
Paul Fox, who was, such a great director. I don't know if you've ever worked with him. He's so like, he's got a very gentle approach, but a very specific idea. And so he just kind of came in, he did it. He made it all work. It was pretty incredible, but yeah. Containment episode.
Thank
okay. You. Thank you, Myla, for that question. Let's see what we have next here. Oh, why can't I make, there we go. Rebecca. Let's hear from Rebecca.
Rebecca, what everyone always calls me.
Hi, this is Bex from the UK. Just to ask, if you could body swap with any other character apart from the one that you body swapped with, who would it have been and why? And also, I love the podcast. I love watching it every week. I think you guys are amazing. And yeah, I just look forward to it every week. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you. That's voice. Yeah. What a lovely message. And thank you for that. We love making it. And Rachel and I have had a lot of fun doing it. So
yes, we have.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. So we've talked about that a little bit, I guess, already. I mean,
Oh, no, but we talked for me. This is actually a question for you. Like, who would you have wanted
Chris,
to swap?
Chris all the time.
For sure, Chris.
Only Chris. My answer to everything is Chris. God. Okay. If I had to body swap with one of the main cast.
Yeah. Like not Michael.
I would say Kenzie or Chris. I mean it, like Dyson. Because I just love how they both use their bodies as those characters. So I think that would have been really kind of fun to, like, you know, I don't know. They're both very, they have a lot of physicality in those parts. And I think that would have been kind of cool to try to emulate.
I always think actors, like, it's like my favorite actress is Lucille Ball because she does this physical comedy that was actually very rare for women at the time. But any actor who uses their body to create a character, I'm so inspired by.
Yeah.
It's magnificent. And most of the time you don't even know that it's happening unless you know them really well personally, you know, but definitely Chris Dyson is in many ways the antithesis of how he is when you're just like hanging out, you know, he's like kind of googly and like fun. And
yeah.
Then Dyson is like, oh, like so like in his body in a different way.
Yeah.
Fascinating to watch him create that. So I get it.
If you could body switch with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Love Chris podcast.
What?
It's like just Chris and Zoe. It's just you and I sitting here being like, Chris,
let's talk about
Zoe.
Chris and Zoe all the time. If you could body swap with anyone on the planet, who would it be? I mean, there's probably lots of people, but you'd want to body switch with. No, I'm just kidding. That sounds really weird.
I could body swap. I mean, it would definitely be a man because I would just be interested in like what's that like, you know?
Like I'd want it to be like LeBron James or someone.
Yeah.
Like someone who can use their body in this like really big way.
Yeah. So our next voicemail was from Shaney. There was a problem with some static on the recording, so we wanted to spare everyone's ears. However, we did want to shout you out, Shaney, saying thank you for leaving the voicemail and also address the question that you asked, because we actually get asked this question a lot, which is, where can I find Lost Girl not for $10 million? So the answer to that question is if you're in the United States, you can download the CW Seed app and watch all the episodes of all the seasons for free. If you are outside of the US, it's a little bit more difficult. And we actually don't know where you can get the episodes for free. So if you know, I'm actually, you know what? We should get it up on the Lost Girl Rewatch Instagram page. And I believe, did we put it up there? Because people did give some really good answers. I think.
I don't remember that, but it would be good to get those answers because from anyone living outside of the US.
Where to watch? There you go. Actually, you know what? We did answer this question. That's my desk.
Your desk is beeping.
It's mad. It's so mad you can't find Lost Girl.
It's like
this is if you go to the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast Instagram page in the saved highlights, there's a where to watch, and people actually wrote in, answered for different countries where you can see it for free. So go check that out. But definitely if you're in the US,
CWC. Yes. Great question. Thank you for asking that.
We need to talk a little bit about the next
episode 10. Episode 10 was really fun to watch. It was called Raging Faye. Jeremy Boxen wrote it and David Green directed it. And it was his first ever episode of anything that he directed.
I'm wearing green in his honor.
There you go. except he has an E on the end, but whatever.
Right. Cool. Kill my vibe. Kill your vibe.
No, I just, he likes that he has an E. It's different. But yes, right. You are wearing green in his honor. But it was his directorial debut and he was wonderful, of course. The episode was fun. There's so many fun things in it, right? Like it's a real investigative episode. You get to see Bo and Lauren in the beginning with like Rizzoli and Isles, like showing up to this crime scene. And, there's a lot of that element to it, like that feeling of investigating, but the episode is really about, Bo's past coming back to sort of smack her in the face. And her feeling the need to then run again. And instead she faces her past. So she's in the boxing ring and she's getting beaten and she's letting it happen because she feels so much guilt and shame over, you know, the body count she left in her wake and killing Kyle, whose sister comes back into this episode, played by Joanne Boland, who was wonderful. And so you get to see Bo do that. And it's great to watch, you know, Lauren and Kenzie and Dyson and Trick help her through this. So it's a very emotional episode too. And of course, being directed by David Green, it was so touching. Those moments were so extra touching because as we know, David is so sensitive and open and creates an atmosphere that you can feel very, very safe in. So it was really cool to see. I loved that I got to say two lines I don't think I've ever said since before or since, which was "Boy Howdy" and "Roger Dodger." Whoever says that, but I got to say both of those things.
We should bring Roger Dodger back.
I think we should. I really
forget VM. We should bring Roger Dodger.
We got some Roger Dodgers here. I like it. I like that better.
The real Roger Dodger, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what Roger Dodger means. See, it can mean anything.
Exactly. I'm feeling so Roger Dodger, Raj Dodge today.
You RD'd it. Totally.
RD'd it. Wow, you are so into just like the one letters together.
I am.
VM. RD.
I remember in high school, HR. I remember an old boyfriend that I had in high school. I remember it was like right after high school, but whatever. And he started going as a joke because had a very clever sense of humor, of course, but he would go, "Ugh, AI," like as if, and that's what made him really cool. And I think of him
That's with you. Anyway,
I attract these kind of people. Episode. Anyway, episode 10. So yes, the woman who played Thrasher, she was a real fighter. So she was excellent. I love that you get to see this.
What was that like being in the boxing ring?
It was awesome. I mean, first, like I was in there with real fighters. There's a lot of real fighters around me. So,
were you doing the majority of like taking the hits and stuff? I mean, they don't actually hit you, but like were a lot of those you?
A lot of, yeah, for sure. And Jen is in there too. Of course. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was me because you have to see Bo getting beaten. You have to see her face getting cut. It was a heavy makeup day too, because Linda had to keep coming in to make me more and more beaten. So there was a lot of,
how long did that take to shoot?
I would say that scene took a while. We were in this where like we weren't on our usual sound or, you know, stage or whatever.
Sound stage.
But, it probably took a good portion of a day and there were several fights in that ring. So, but that was a really big one. And it's a very, it's showing Bo getting, you know, beaten and emotional and flashing back and all this kind of stuff. So, and I love the scene. I love the scene at the end between Bo and Kenzie. You get to see that, like just how in depth their friendship was. And I love her. What is it? I can't read my own writing. Oh, when at the end, when Bo tells Mel, this is Kyle's sister, Kyle's the guy she killed. She goes to give this confession, you know, of what she did. And well, people watch the episode. So the Fae have sort of helped.
You're not spoiling anything. This came
I don't
want
to give it away. Like I love, the Ash's teeth at the end. He goes to kill, he's going to go kill that Fae, and his fangs come out and they're incredible. They're so vicious.
So vicious.
And Vincent looks so cool with vicious fangs. Let's just say it. And I love Bo talking to the little boy because she's saying to him, like, you're not alone. And, you know, I'm like you, I'm different to you. And it's like, it's so touching and just brings.
I actually remember that scene from the very first time I watched Lost Girl.
Really? Of talking to the little boy?
Yeah. And this was like, it wasn't even like a huge kid person. It was just so, it was so sweet.
It was so sweet. It's really sweet. Oh, that's cool that you remembered it. Anyway, that touches on 10. And I think it's important to talk about that because it is, you know, Bo's past coming back, and it's also starting to address the Nain Rouge and the warning that's coming, and the vision that Bo is seeing. And she shares with Trick, like, you know, I saw a vision of you, me standing over you, and you're dead. I basically killed you. And you see the weight of that on Trick. So, dun, dun, dun.
How many times did that happen to you in the show?
Several. I'd be like, hey, Rick. And I'd be like, oh, damn it. Wait, what's your name? It's either Rick or Trick.
But I loved this, like this episode, because I think it's a beautiful, parallel to life, you know, like having to not run from your past, face it. It's painful. It can be, it feels shameful. It can feel all of those things. I think it's really, it doesn't glaze over any of it.
No. And when you stand, like you said, when you stand in the pain of something, it can give it a chance to move. You know, or you sort of expand yourself to hold it differently in a way, which I think is kind of true as well, because you, when you run from things and you crouch around them and you curl around them and you, you know, grip onto things, you, if you expand that in you, it has more places to go. So
I don't think that there's anything else to say. That was so beautifully said.
I think we've nailed it. Roger Dodger
it's a real Roger Dodger on episode 4. 10. What episode are we on?
At this point, so I can't keep track. But what a ride it's been. And Roger Dodger to everyone listening. And
Roger Dodger. Artie.
And boy howdy. This was a good one. Thank you to everyone listening. We will see you guys on the next one. Mwah. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast. This enables us to grow and continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon, where you will get exclusive video access to all of our episodes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.